This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Okay, in a windy One Bills Drive, Matt Bove, right here, Sal Capaccio, right here. And it is always game day in Buffalo, so we apologize with the wind. We wanted to be respectful of our colleagues in the media room, and we moved outside for this.
Well, because I didn't feel like we were going to go outside and record at 2:30 in the morning and 1 o'clock in the morning like we've done the last couple days. But right now, it's just about 8 o'clock. This isn't too bad. You know, things went pretty smooth today. Draft is done. The Bills have selected 10 players, and here we are. We've appreciated the support on the last couple podcasts, by the way. A lot of really good responses, a lot of people watching on YouTube, so that's great.
Yeah, the numbers are great. We thank you so much. We try to keep these a little bit shorter than our normal pods, and seems like everybody out there is liking that as they get their Bills fix for the draft. You see the camera shaking a little bit as we go along. It's because it's a little windy out here. It's a typical Highmark Stadium windy day. There's no game going on, but when it does happen, you now have your 2024 Buffalo Bills draft class. All right, we've spoken about the, you know, we can do the whole thing in totality at the end with some, you know, kind of big picture stuff, but let's talk about today and what the Bills did. They started off with Ray Davis, a running back from Kentucky who, oh, by the way, is 24 years old, about to turn 25 this season.
Unbelievable story. When we talk about the Bills having like their prototypical players that they like, he checks the boxes because of what he has overcome in his life and how he has even gotten to the point where now he is an NFL draft pick. He was in the foster system for 8 years. He was homeless twice. He had to move in with a teacher at his high school until then he could move in with his grandmother before he ultimately started his college football journey. This is a guy that has overcome a lot. So when you see players like that get to the pinnacle, that's when it, for me, is about so much more than football. But he also runs really hard. He said, I know I'm a downhill guy. I know people think of me as a downhill guy, but I also think that I've got some lateral ability too. I think he is a nice complement to what James Cook is.
Yeah, 5'11", a little over 200, like 210 pounds.
Yeah, like 220. Right? 220.
Okay, yeah. So he's a little thicker than that even, but a three-down back. He wanted to make it clear he's a three-down back. My question is, what role does a three-down back coming in on this team play with James Cook already and Ty Johnson on the roster?
Well, he doesn't have to be a three-down back here. He could potentially evolve into a three-down back. He could evolve into just their short. That's what I think he's going to be. I think he's going to be somebody who can come in and short yardage packages, but also keep in mind, he had 7 receiving touchdowns last year. So it's not like this is a guy who can just run into the line of scrimmage, gain a yard or two, and then call it a day. He also is somebody like Keon Coleman, who when plays break down, he seems to be able to find space, give his quarterback an option. There are clips that you can go watch of this guy. It looks like the play is dead, and then he turns it into a massive 50, 60-yard gain. He's quick. He's deceptive. He's a little bowling ball. I mean, he's just going to run over people. I mean, he plays like his hair's on fire. The Bills could use a guy like that.
All right, then the Bills, they go offensive line. Cedric Van Pran Granger, he plays for the Georgia Bulldogs. He actually blocked for James Cook at Georgia. Now he's going to block for James Cook here in Buffalo. When I look at this pick, I think, all right, does this say anything about Connor McGovern moving to center? I don't think it does. No. I think he is still going to move to center. I would say, though, I'm going to give this kid an opportunity as a fourth-round pick to eventually maybe take over that role. Maybe you move Connor McGovern back. Who knows? Maybe he even moves himself, although he said he really didn't play a lot of guard. Aaron Cromer does want him to learn a little bit of guard. I think this is purely a backup center who the team can develop and then rely upon. If they, hey, feel that he can do it, fine. If there's an injury, fine, too. But I don't think this has anything about what they feel about Connor McGovern.
This is what they do. On day three of the draft, they find upside offensive linemen who they think that they could develop into a later player who could maybe one day start for them. The center class this year was not incredibly deep. So this guy on most boards was a top 3, 4, 5 center. So for the Bills to be able to get that type of player where they did, I think speaks to the value of the pick. I think when he was on the board, they were probably a bit surprised that he was available, especially at that position. They said they sent Aaron Cromer down to work him out. And Aaron Cromer came back, seal of approval. Yeah, I like this guy. We think we need to get a little bit more position versatility out of him. He's a center first, but he can also play guard. They want him to get a little bit better at guard. But I think that this is a long-term project of somebody who we could see start in a couple of years. But I believe he started 44 games in college at a team that did not lose very many games of the 44 that he started. So I think that there's upside there.
Yeah, and I was going to make the point, too. You make a great point about the starts. High-level competition, right? SEC, national champion. I mean, when you're playing in the trenches at that school, look at the Georgia defensive linemen that have come out recently. Yeah. When you're playing in the trenches there, think about that. He went against those guys every day.
Jalen Carter, like, trying to go against that dude every single day. There's some serious dudes on that Georgia team. And I think that entire team, most of those guys are playing at the next level in some capacity. So for the Bills, they're, you know, finally dipping their toes into the Georgia well, him and James Cook.
All right, the Bills, I think it was the pick here before, is 143, I think. So I could be wrong, but either way, we're at the spot where they traded again. They made a deal, an interesting deal. They traded with the Chicago Bears. Yep. They traded the fifth-round pick, one of them, they had four of them, to the Bears for next year's fourth-round pick. Mm-hmm. This is also very interesting, Matt, because it's the same pick they got from the Bears for Ryan Bates. So they what they did was they traded Ryan Bates to the Bears for a fifth, took that same fifth, traded it back to the Bears for a fourth next year. So now Ryan Bates becomes a fourth in 2025. I think it's a good deal for the Bills, good value.
They had 4 fifth-round picks. I think whenever you can make a jump an entire round, you have to do it. So for the Bills now, next year, they'll have extra ammunition to, one, if they want to stay in the fourth, great, or try and move in to day two, end of their third round or something like that. I just think that if there wasn't a guy you loved, and it feels like they said the board kind of fell their way, we'll talk about the only one wide receiver thing in the entire draft class. There were wide receivers on the board then that I thought to myself, ooh, that's a name that makes sense for the Bills. But it clearly doesn't feel like they felt that way. So add a future higher round pick. You know, I like the Bears. I like the trajectory they're on. But, you know, that could be a mid-fourth-round pick. That might be a pretty good pick for them.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, you just said it. They're going to have ammunition. Have you looked at next year's picks they have?
Well, they have their normal one. Yeah. They have 2 twos. They have their own 2 in Minnesota's 2. I think they have 2 threes.
1 3 right now.
Uh-huh.
2 fours now.
Yep.
And then they don't have a fifth. Uh-huh. But they are expected to get a fourth and a fifth-round comp.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about, or even a third and fifth, whatever it is, you're talking, Matt, they could essentially have, like, maybe, what, 6 picks in the first 4 rounds?
Yeah.
First 3 rounds, maybe?
Yeah, so they'll have some. The Bills, they are not trying to, you know, just, like, punt on the season. No pun intended. But they are very clearly setting themselves up to have a little bit of a reset. They're getting draft capital for next year. They're opening up cap space for next year. I think they're going to see what happens this year. Like, when you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And they still have a chance. They can get to the playoffs, get hot at the right time. I like the pieces, some of the pieces that they've added. So I'm not counting them out. But I also think they are thinking long-term here. We need to put ourselves in a better situation so then we can go attack the draft. We can go attack free agency. We can try and get better. So that's what I think the draft is doing next year, and obviously free agency when they've got more money to spend.
When the Bills did get back on the clock and make a pick, here we go. We're going to call him Eddie.
Eddie, he said we could.
Yep. Eddie Fuan Ulafoscio.
Yes, Eddie.
Eddie. There you go.
And even Brandon Bean at his post-draft press conference called him the linebacker from UW. So I don't even think he was going to try. This is a player like athleticism. It once again checks the mold of what the Bills are looking for. Obviously different players, but it's like a Dorian Williams. It's like, this guy's got traits. We think we could get more out of him. He's a pretty big guy. He's a captain. He's got all the intangibles that they always look for. So I think this is a special teams contributor, but also somebody who feels like can play at all levels, right? Like he can, hey, if you got to cover him on a back, he can do that. If you got to get him in the butt, like he can do a lot of different things.
Listen, last year's game against the Kansas City Chiefs being depleted at linebacker the way they were was a big deal. And now you think about they signed Nicholas Morrow. I know they lost Tyrell Dodson, but you know they go out and they draft Eddie as well. And you know, I think they believe that they're in a much better spot right now to absorb something like that. Six-year player because of COVID and injury. Six-year player coming out of the University of Washington. Also, though, he's from Alaska. Very first player the Bills have ever had from Alaska.
Yeah, that's impressive. So I think he's from – well, he was in Alaska – his dad was from Nigeria. They moved to Alaska. Then he moved to Vegas, I believe. It's hard without the sheet right in front of me because I believe, was he asked about playing against Dalton Kincaid?
I'm not positive. He might have been because he went to Washington. So no, I think he might have been.
Somebody in high school was asked about
because he went to Bishop Gorman.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Matt Perino, our buddy, he did ask that. But that's because he was in Vegas. That's right. But he said that Dalton went to a different school, but they know of each other and those kinds of things. Here's the other part of it. He was a walk-on at Washington, and then he became a full-time starter with 95 tackles, fourth in the Pac-12 last year.
Yeah, and he also had some nice games on the big stage. I don't believe anybody on the Washington defense had a very good game in the national championship, but in the college football playoff game, they had a strong day. I think he had 7 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss. So he is somebody who I think can come in. I hate to use the Brandon Bean cliche, earn a jersey, but I feel like this is a guy who can earn a jersey, at least in the short term, as a special teams player. You know what this feels like to me? Now, I'm not dismissing this completely. Are you moving on from Tyler Matakevich? When you get a player this, you've got another linebacker, another guy who you know is going to make the team, like where they drafted him, they're probably not cutting a guy like that. Do you need a special teams specialist linebacker who doesn't really contribute defensively? I feel like this now opens up a roster spot for that.
All right, one of my favorite picks of this entire draft for the Bills was their fifth rounder, number 168, Javon Solomon out of Troy, and partly because, boy, his production just goes off the page, right? I mean, this guy had 30-something sacks. But the other thing is, Matt, after just talking to him, what a fantastic young man. He's incredible, right?
I think this is the nicest human on the planet. Now, I'm basing this off of a 15-minute Zoom call with him. I have no idea what he is like, but everybody was, you know, thank you so much. I appreciate. We did not give him an opportunity to play for the Buffalo Bills, but he would get asked a question. He'd be like, I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity. Thank you, boss man. I so look forward.
Everybody was boss man. We were going to fight in the media room on who was the biggest and best boss man.
I so look forward to meeting you all. So when you have that, when you have somebody who just kind of jumps off the screen to you on a Zoom call, but then the production, like that's somebody who I think people can be excited about.
Yeah.
When you, I don't care what level of football you're playing. If you have 16 sacks in a season, you know how to get after the quarterback. There's just a science to it. And it feels like last year he figured out the formula.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
I don't remember the other name. I believe DeMarcus Ware went to Troy.
DeMarcus Ware, Mario Addison, O.C. Umenyora.
O.C.'s the other guy, and he broke the records of those guys. Yep. Like, he broke their records for, you know, sacks. So I think the production's there. But here's the other reason why I love talking to him. You know, this is an era where everybody leaves to go to the best option, NIL, the portal, all that kind of stuff. Here's a kid who sack production was some of the best in college football. He decided to stay at Little Troy.
Yeah.
I say Little Troy. I don't mean any disrespect. They've had some nice players over the years, but he's from Tallahassee.
Yeah.
All right. I would think, I mean, I don't know if they actually were on him or not, but here's Alabama. Here's Florida State. They don't go out and get him, or I should say he doesn't choose to go there. He doesn't go to a Power Five. He stays at Troy and says, you know what? I did it because I learned about a sense of community, a sense of family, and doing it something for my teammates. They made a commitment to me. I wanted to see that commitment through, and he has no regrets whatsoever, and I just love that part of him.
He also said that Von Miller is somebody who has figured out how to rush the passer better than anybody, and that now he gets a chance to learn from somebody who was such a role model for him as a football player. Now, I know Von Miller last year was a shell of himself, and I'm not anticipating him to once again be like a double-digit sack guy next year. I think he'll be better than he was last year, but I also do think that those types of players teaching technique to the younger guys is something that can benefit them down the road for even a Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa and now Javon Solomon.
Tylon Grable becomes their sixth round pick. This is a athletic guy from UCLA. Let me tell you how athletic.
Quarterback?
High school quarterback who threw for 3,000 yards. Uh-huh. He wasn't in high school. He's now, I believe, 6'4", 300 pounds.
So I think he was a quarterback to then a tight end an offensive lineman. So
I've seen this happen before. Actually, I coached against Anthony Hargrove. Remember him? He played for the Bills a while back, early mid-2000s. He was a quarterback at Port Charlotte High School. And they said, look, we love you in college, but you're going to have to – we think you can gain some weight and maybe play defensive end. He did, went to Georgia Tech. Then he gained a little more weight and became a defensive tackle in the NFL.
Yeah. So I just think of whenever I hear somebody make the transition, regardless of the position, I think of Jason Peters. I think of, oh, go from a tight end to becoming, you know, this all-time dominant, probably future Hall of Famer left tackle. Listen, what was he, a sixth-round pick? Like, long way to go. But once again, this kind of goes back to the – we're going to call him SVPG. I don't know if that's his nickname, but it's just way easier to say. So the center from Georgia, same thing. Intangibles, athleticism, banking on the upside, trying to see if you can kind of strike lightning in a bottle. The one thing I will say about the Bills, Brandon Bean has had some hits with offensive linemen in draft classes later. I mean, I'm thinking about mostly Wyatt Teller, even Spencer Brown a little bit. Spencer Brown was a third round pick from a small school. They moved on from Wyatt Teller, so you don't get full credit for hitting on him, but you know, there's also guys on this roster now who have been, you know, players who they've been able to develop. So you got to take a shot.
Tylon Grable, excuse me, comes from UCF, like I said. Then they go with a punt returner, uh-huh. Daquan Hardy. Now, last year it was
Deontay Hardy to Daquan Hardy.
That's right. This kid comes from Penn State, dynamic punt returner, but also he had two touchdowns returns in a game, I believe I read. But also, this is a corner who could probably mostly transition to slot, but also play a little bit on the outside.
I think he's 5'9", so I don't think he's going to be playing too much on the boundary. I think that this is a returner, and then you're probably worst-case scenario nickel guy, right? Like, that's what this reads to me. I think that they are drafting him off of his return skills. They have tried this in the past. It has not worked out. They tried this with
Marquez Stevenson.
Marquez Stevenson.
Even though he's a wide receiver, yeah, but your point is right.
They tried this with Marquez Stevenson. They tried this with Ray McLeod. He's still in the league. He just did not work out with the Bills. Like, they've tried to find returners. And I also think that there might be a little bit more of an added emphasis because of the new rule, that they might want to just try and, you know, hey, yeah, is there an offensive lineman we think or a wide receiver we think could have helped us here? Yeah, but this is our favorite returner on the board. Let's give it, you know, take a swing at it.
They also tried it with Dre Archer, who never showed up and retired from the NFL after that.
Yeah, so.
It wasn't a draft pick. He tried to, you know, they signed him basically. All right. And then the Bills, this is really interesting. This is where I'm going to have to start. I'm mad at Brandon Bean. I'm so mad at Brandon Bean. I went through the Christian Wade thing years ago every single day. People asking me a million questions about his situation for like 3 years. It's going to happen again. I've already done some research. Here's what happened. They drafted a guy named Travis Clayton, who sounds like a great country singer, right? Yeah. Travis Clayton comes from the International Pathways Program. Okay, that's the same program Christian Wade was in, but the program has changed, so everybody knows, all right? Now the program is this. There were 15 players who were eligible to be drafted this year through the International Pathways Program. They kind of tried out for this whole thing. They got put in the, you know, draft eligible position. Out of those 15, you could draft any one of them. If you do draft or sign one of them, you automatically get a 17th practice squad to put them on your team. So he's going to be on the practice squad. He's going to be a 17th member. Now, Brandon Bean said he also believes they get exempt for the 90-man roster. We have not had that confirmed, but either way, this guy is a freak, an athletic freak that they're bringing from the UK who played rugby.
Yeah, I think he's like six. He's very tall. He was 300 pounds, and he ran a 4.81. Brandon Bean said that they based this signing off of watching tape of his workout and I think going and seeing him in person just work out, not, you know, like practice football or anything, in South Florida. He's from England. This is very much a project. But if they think the athleticism is through the roofs, they said they were worried about having to try and recruit him because they thought other teams would do the same. So that is why they felt like they needed to use a draft pick on him.
Exactly. So, they could have drafted him as an undrafted free agent because that's – I'm glad you brought it up, Matt, because you know how many people said to me, well, it's a wasted draft pick then. Well, he said, look, well, we would have signed him as an undrafted free agent, but somebody else could have. By drafting him, we get that exemption on the roster.
I don't want to say all the rounds matter. It's a crapshoot anyway at that point. It's the seventh round. Like, I know that there are diamonds in the rough that always come up, and there were probably guys on the board still that they liked. But in the seventh round, go with the upside. Take a swing. I feel like that's kind of almost all day three is. It's like find the guys who you think have the potential to turn into something. Don't just take the safe picks that you think could be rotational players on your team. I know that those are important, but go for the upside. And they like the athleticism. They're going for the upside.
All right, so 8 players total drafted. Is that about what you had? I think we all said it was like 7.5.
10.
You thought they'd draft 10? You thought they'd draft 10? Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? 10. I'm sorry. I'm looking. I looked at the screen the wrong way. I'm sorry. 10 players. That's more than I thought. I thought they would go with 8, maybe 9.
Well, they drafted 7 today. So that's why I'm surprised. I thought that they would make a stronger push in like the fourth round. They had one fourth round pick, which was the running back out of Kentucky. I thought that they would take more of their fifth round picks and try and move up. What they ended up doing is doing the trade with Chicago and getting a fourth round pick for next year. So they did move up. It's just ultimately for next year. They needed to get younger and they need to get cheaper. They need cheap help. They need cheap work and they need to get younger. That's what the draft is. You know what I mean? Like, who knows how many of these guys, they're not all going to make the team. It would probably be like, what's the line right now? 6.5 that make the team? That's probably even too high, right?
Yeah. So
their first 4 are going to actually, you probably know their first 6 are going to make the team. I think that guy who's kind of Travis Clayton doesn't count because of the pathway program. And then I would say Daquan Hardy is like the, well, if he turns into your returner, he makes the team. But if he doesn't, then he probably doesn't. And he stays on the practice squad.
I think Solomon could make the team, too. It'll be interesting. But by the way, 73 players on the roster after the draft completed. We also had heard. Go ahead.
Are you going to say the wide receiver?
No, go ahead.
Brandon Bean told us that they worked out a wide receiver that they intend to sign. Now, he would not tell us who, but there's another wide receiver coming. I don't know who it. We got no idea who it is.
I mean, he could just be a college guy, but they worked him out. It doesn't have to be a free agent, street free agent NFL guy, right? Hey, it's Sal Capaccio from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. It's not just a podcast. It's the 25th hour of your day, your weekly source for all things Buffalo Bills. Right on time, your time. In the car, navigate the streets with NFL wisdom in your ear. We accompany every errand you need to run. Washing the windows or vacuuming the carpets? Don't just clean, conquer. Podcasts make you more productive because we fit perfectly into your schedule. Follow It's Always Game Day in Buffalo in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He sounded like it.
He gave the impression. I mean, he didn't give the impression.
He also said no big trade is coming at wide receiver, just so everybody knows. If you're looking at that. Now, that might be something someone says when you're working on a big trade at wide receiver, but I believe him.
Yeah, he said if Deebo Samuel made less than $3 million, we would probably have Deebo Samuel on our team. But that's not the case. But no, he said, like, you know, we're working on finalizing that. So I think they're about to add somebody. I don't think that would be like, I mean, probably somebody whose name we've heard of. I don't think it's going to be somebody who's, oh my gosh, Odell Beckham, but maybe it's like a Mac Hollins equivalent level player.
Okay.
They only got $3 million, so it's not going to be somebody crazy.
You know what else? Who else's name we recognize? According to Ryan Talbot, Frank Gore Jr. is going to sign with the Bills. The 5 years after his dad played for the Bills, he's going to, that's great. I love it. I love that.
Lay the foundation. Yes. They were thinking chestnut checkers. They were thinking about this 5 years ago when they brought in Frank Gore for that one season with Devin Singletary. Cool story, right? So now you got Frank Gore's son coming here. You've got Anquan Boldin's son playing for
the University of Buffalo basketball
team. So, hey, yeah, I got.
All right. So I'm going to give you my big thing about this draft class, like my big take, and I wrote this at WGR550.com. I asked Brandon Bean about it. He basically confirmed that's correct. I think it is a clear focus in this draft class to draft leaders. After all the leadership they lost, Absolutely. They made a conscious effort to replenish the leadership in this locker room. And no, you're not asking these young players to come in here and just be your captains. But you got two 24-year-olds. You got guys in Bishop who ran a secondary. You got Dwayne Carter who is coming in here. And this guy he said he's a grown man. He wrote in his notes, he's a grown man, Brandon Bean said. You don't have to tell him what to do. He's super mature. Leadership. That was a big, big theme. You know what it reminds me of? I know this sounds weird. It really reminds me of when Sean McDermott took over in 2017 and then Brandon Bean got here and they had to replenish the roster and bring in guys like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Tolbert. And now the difference is they have Josh Allen now. They didn't have him then. They had Tyrod Taylor. I think this is the same kind of thing.
I'm somewhere in the middle between I agree with you that there was very clearly a goal and an effort to add these types of guys to the roster. I don't know if it would ever, though, because the culture has already been changed. So I don't think that there really wasn't a culture at that point. It was, hey, there's a bunch of football players here and there's a playoff drought going on. Then they get here, they end the drought, then they have that year reset, and then Josh Allen becomes Josh Allen. The defense gets really good, and then they go on their five-year run. Is it 5 or 6 years now in a row of the playoffs?
Well, it's
19, 20, 21, 22, 23, so it's five.
That's right.
So 5 years straight.
Six
out of seven, four straight AFC East titles. I think that they definitely care about those types of qualities in people. But I also think they're just good football players, and that's why they got them.
They are. I think, though, that they matter more in tiebreakers, if that makes sense, this year. They matter more to how they stack their board to what they're looking for this year.
Yeah, that might be fair. And I also think, you know, one of the questions that was asked to Brandon Bean is like, how many of these guys do you think can, you know, make the roster and earn a spot and actually play? And, you know, it's a tough question for him to answer because he's not going to show his hand that way. But he did say, like, the first four guys, like, we think are going to get on the field. So then you talk about, okay, four guys, and all four of those had those intangibles that they were looking for. So I think it, to your point, it matters more at the top of the draft than at the bottom.
All right, this whole time I didn't have the thing that said always game day. It just had my name, but he's Matt. You had his name too. I just had to put it on there. But we've been trying to hold this computer up. How's your hair holding up? All right, mine's all right.
Yeah, yours looks good. Yours looks good. There's a little bit of product to make sure that it's this part is like flipping in the wind a little bit. But yeah, I'm trying to keep it contained. This is the exact spot where we do all of our pregame shows, our live shows. So I've got a lot of familiarity. You can see behind me over my shoulder here. There's like this. It covers basically like a service entrance into the field house here. It also cuts off the wind a little bit. So that's why we're kind of hugging the wall right here.
Wow. There's still a lot of wind out here. All right, man. Well, it's been nice being down here with you, hunkered down for a few days.
Yes, it has been. We will get back to our regularly scheduled programming, of course, next week. There's not ever a shortage of things to talk about. I think I like what the Bills did. I don't love it. I don't dislike it. I like it. I think they got good value, smart draft picks that fill spots that they needed to address. If you would have told me Thursday afternoon their top player coming out of it would have been Keon Coleman, I might have groaned a little bit. I might have said like, ew, well, I don't really.
Hey, real quick. What you said you wanted to talk about it. Just what your thoughts on them only taking one wide receiver in the draft itself.
So he said, you need to consider the entire group. I hate that answer. I hate that. Because I don't think that that's what we're talking about. I know that Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox and James Cook and Davis are all going to catch passes. Ray Davis. I know that they're all going to catch passes, but I'm talking about wide receivers. I'm talking about players who can, at any given play, take one to the house, make a big play, convert a third down. I get that it's all the same thing. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. I know the Chiefs have won Super Bowls with this cast of characters at wide receiver. Dalton Kincaid is not Travis Kelce. Josh Allen is not Patrick Mahomes. They're close, but Patrick Mahomes has three Super Bowls. He is able to make this work. I think they need another wide receiver. I don't think the group is good. I think right now, if you look at their wide receiver room, it's one of the worst in the NFL. I think there's upside because of Keon Coleman, but it was already a middle-of-the-road wide receiver room with Stephon Diggs. They went from Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis to Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel. Like, regardless of what you think about Gabe Davis, that certainly isn't better. So, and I didn't think their receiver room last year was exceptional, honestly. So I think that they still need to do something when they get that $10 million in cap space. This was a comment on the last video. Somebody's like, well, you always say that they could go out and do something, but you never give us examples. Odell Beckham Jr. makes sense for them because there's upside there. Michael Gallup makes sense for them a little bit more. I don't know how he would fit in this offense, but he at least has been a player in the league who has produced. Tyler Boyd is another name that could make it. Like, there are guys who are going to require more money than they currently have available, but also not the entire $10 million that they're opening up. That is what I think they need to do. Because I think if you go into next season with Odell Beckham, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and Khalil Shakir, that's at least serviceable. Like, that's with the other pieces you have. Like, hey, Josh Allen can elevate that. But if you go in next year without a number one or even like a clear-cut number two, because Curtis Samuel hasn't proven that he can be a clear-cut number two. He's got the upside to be. And I don't know what to expect from Keon Coleman. I don't think anybody does.
And if you're asking Keon Coleman to be a number one at 20 years old as a rookie in the NFL, I think it's a lot to ask. And I've said it all weekend. No matter what they did today, they weren't going to have a number one wide receiver coming out, at least for 2024. He may be in 2025 or 2026. Not right now. And I think that's a lot to ask and a lot to expect. So we'll see where it goes. By the way, Keon Coleman and the rookies, they'll be here in a couple of weekends. That will be rookie minicamp and then OTAs and all those fun things we like to cover in the summer. He is Matt Bove. I'm Sal Capaccio. Thanks to Mike Rabier for producing. Thanks to you for watching and downloading and listening, of course, wherever you pod, and right here on the Sal Sports YouTube channel. It's always game day in Buffalo.